بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ورفع أبويه على العرش وخروا له سجدا. This is a verse from Surah Yusuf. Just as we remember Allah Ta'ala at the time of pain, difficulty, grief, then we remember Allah Ta'ala in the time of happiness, at the time of joy. So Allah Ta'ala says, or the Malaika say, that this voice is familiar. When we remembered him at the time of joy, and now we're crying to him at the time of grief and pain, Malaika recognize the voice and say, this is familiar. So at the time of joy and happiness, not to forget Allah Ta'ala. At the time of grief and pain, not to become totally despondent. But remember Allah Ta'ala, His control is supreme, His control is perfect, His decision is accurate, there is no faultiness. So this verse starts off, وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. He raised his parents to the throne. Now, Allah Pak makes it a point to mention this. وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. He raised the parents to the throne. So we understand that we will honor people according to their positions. Brothers came also, and the brothers were elder than Yusuf alayhi salam. But the father is the father. Father has to be raised to some additional position. وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Again, you look at it. There's Zakariya alayhi salam, but Isa alayhi salam, when Allah Ta'ala is extolling their praises. So for one, he's saying, وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَيْهِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ جَبَّارًا عَصِيًّا. And very kind, compassionate, very good, loving towards his parents. Isa alayhi salam, وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَتِي. And very kind towards my mother, because he didn't have a father. But the Nabi, now, what was khidmat he doesn't do? What was sacrifices he doesn't make and offer? But from all the virtues that Allah Ta'ala extols, and he speaks about, makes it a point to talk about this. Here, about Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah makes it a point to speak about it, impressing upon us the importance of parents. Allah Pak holds it in such esteem. When he talks about his worship, then immediately, be kind towards your parents. The reward that you get, then for one sight, one glance, obedient child, and he makes one glance at his father, one makbul hajj. It's not your business to investigate what your father is doing. That's not your business. He's doing something, made a mistake quietly or whatever, but that's not your business to pry into his affairs. Yes, your business is to be kind, considerate, compassionate, and loving towards him, irrespective of what he is. If Allah Ta'ala is asking you to be kind to your parents in spite of them being kafirs, then if he's a Muslim, then how much more? So one look is a maqbool hajj. You're getting an increase in your sustenance, right? You're getting an extension to your life. Now how this happens? On the one end we say that everything is decreed. Sustenance is decreed and life is decreed. You can't live one second more and you won't live one second less. So in that time limitation, Allah allows you to do so much more. So much more you can do in that limited time. وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Admawad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi says that this also refers to all your elders, right? And he says that your progress in deen is proportionate to your respect and your love for your elders. How much of respect and love you show to them will be your progress in deen. So there's going to be two people that's going to be very important in your life. Obviously the first will be the parents, and then at the second level is your ustad, your mashayikh, etc. What's going to be the level of love and what's going to be the level of respect that you will show to them? Your ustads, this all will reach up to the self salihin, tabi'een, sahaba kiram. So you want to progress in your deen and you want barakat in your life, then this is the way to do it, to respect and to show them love. Right. Even it may be, at times, they may be a little bit hard, but they are doing it for your own good. As Aisha radiallahu anha had her nephews, Abdul Rahman, etc. Well, Abdul Rahman was her brother, she had some of her nephews. So the one nephew wasn't speaking fluent Arabic. He wasn't speaking fluent. So Aisha radiallahu anha, all the nephews are there, reprimanded him. So now he felt upset. Okay, I caught it in front of everybody. So not long after that, she opened out a dastarkhan. So hadith is in Abu Dawud Sharif, some parts, and some part is in Muslim Sharif. So she laid out the dastarkhan. So he's already upset now that I caught it in the presence of my other cousins. So he got up for namaz. So Aisha reprimanded him for the second time. وَلَا صَلَاتَ فِي حَضَرَةِ الطَّعَامِ. You don't, when food is being served, you don't go to stand for namaz at that time. Then you will attend to the food first. But what a good style of living, that is corrected there and then on the spot, everything is wrapped and forgotten. But now, as Aisha is gone over 1400 years, right? But this thing is remembered. That is what happened. Nephews came in and she corrected him, reprimanded him in front of the others. And then he got up to perform namaz because he was upset. So she reprimanded him for the second time. And the story is over, class. Sometimes I think for a person like me, I need that. The reason is that you say, no, I'll get him on a quiet moment and then I will talk to him. That moment may never come. Right. Number two is this, the mistake was done in the presence of people. Right. So if it was not corrected, how would they know that this is right and this is not right? How would they know? So the best thing, by just finish it up now, correct it, and end of the story, close the chapter and carry on, move on. Why should we think now, hey, you know, I got this respect and people look at me like this and I'm being corrected? Why must we think that? Are we now gone so big now that nobody must be able to correct us? Have we gone so big now that if someone corrects us, then you're going to be so humiliated, you're going to be so disgraced and embarrassed? Why should we think that? Forget all that. Al-Mawad Thanwi Sahib Rahmatullah says about the respect that they had in the past. Right? Shibli Nomani, great alim, alright, some of his views were not in conformity with our views, right? But a very, very great, eloquent speaker of Nadwa, right? Ali Mias, one of his ustad, one of his teachers. Although some of his thoughts were not in conformity with our thinking, but overall he was a great person, eloquent speaker, drawing big, big crowds and all that. Now in India, when you're drawing crowds, it's not 100 and 200, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 you're attracting, right? So Shibli Nomani, he's just ended his talk. And then his ustad also very impressed about his talk. His ustad is there, I don't know if it was Mona Abdul Sattar or something, is there reclining against the wall, So he says, Are Shibli, zara pair mein dard ho raha hai, zara pair ko daba do zara. Some pain there, can't you? All the crowd is coming to meet Shibli, and Shibli is pressing the leg of his ustad. And there's no frown on the face, a smile. He's feeling very honored that my ustad gave me the opportunity to press his leg. Now it was one of us, front of everybody, and now I... See that? How the mind is supposed to be programmed. Now this mind is programmed like this, when there is that association. Right? Now, if you want it to happen, without the association, it can't happen. See, there's a bond between the husband and the wife, right? And there's production. There's production after this, right? Isn't it? In every respect, love, mahabbat, bonding, children, everything happens when there is a good bonding. But if it is, say, no, I got the mahabbat, but I'll stay in Claywood and let him stay here. No meeting, no sitting, no meeting the wife, or sitting with her, or talking with her. I ask you, will there be any progress in that marriage? So for that marriage to work out, to come and talk one, two times, there'll be something hard and stiff, right? They will mention it, right? But we know we're getting our business here. When you're getting our business, right, you're getting your business somewhere, right? And the person that is giving you that business, a little bit hard in his ways. But you know you're making a profit out of it. Will you endure that difficulty? Ask yourself. Will you endure that? I tell the people, I was also in business, right, up until the age of 13. But the tradition that time was when you were 5 years of age, you must be in the business. So you must know your maths, you must know how to give change, and do the business, right, from 5 to 13. I see how it carries on, right? You're getting the business out of the person. I will see a time that one is swearing you. But you're not paying attention to that. I know what I'm getting out of the person. And you're carrying on. Now I ask you, deen is it so cheap that we can't tolerate one, two things, this side, that side thing. Now recognize me. You know me. Recognize me. So وَرَفَعَ بَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. See, this respect, this honor, muhabbat. And I say this muhabbat increases when there is that association. Like in a marital relationship, if there isn't that association, meeting, talking, one, two times you may get it, right? One time they may give you, one time you giving it, but you're still bonding. And then after that you get through that hurdle. But you cannot say that it won't happen again. It may happen again. I had to explain this to one student today. What spurred me up is I had to talk to one student this morning, you know. Yeah, like this and like that, whatever. So I asked him, but do you ever prepare your tea? And do you ever prepare your toast? He said, yeah, a lot of them I do it. He's married. A lot of them I prepare my tea, and a lot of them I prepare my toast. So I says, I asked him, and then it is spill off. So a lot of time it spills off. And the toast, does it ever burn? He said, yeah. But you don't say that because it's spilled now, leave it out, no tea, no toast. Do you ever say that? That's going to spill, it's going to get burnt, you should carry on, continue. So these are one of the things that you must expect. It will happen, mistake will happen, you'll get shouted, you'll get reprimanded, carry on. Now that thing, then the bond. There's more time that speaks about the same thing. Speaking about what Rafa'a al-Arsh, my mind crossed now. And the student is the catalyst. He came and spoke to me about it this morning. So I'm just taking it on from there. Mullah says, see, since we are approaching Ramadan, and the feeling, the anxiety is that everybody must win, everybody must gain. You'll see in the Khanqa, in those days, right? That was Shaykh Hamdallah's time, and then after that, Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah's time, then Hazrat Jir Hamdallah. A lot of people gain, and they gain like you can't imagine in Ramadan. Look at the correspondence, whatever, right? So, but they gain, and they gain so much that you can't imagine how they gained. But what they gained was in the Mubarak month of Ramadan. So, but then for being able to gain, you have to prepare yourself. have that utensil, have that vessel very clean, then you will gain. But now it's in a mess, you don't want to clean that thing, just leave it, leave the muck and the mess, and you want to gain, how can it happen? You got a vessel, and you got a little bit of urine in that, the milk that's going to be poured, it's as pure as it may be. Labanan khalisan sa'igal lisharibin. This is, it's the most perfect, complete food. Milk is the most complete food. Therefore, that is the food that is ushered to a child that is born. Because it's complete. There can't be a food that can be a substitute to milk. It's absolutely complete. That's why it's the first food that is administered to a child that is just born. Right? But this purest of food, when it's put into something that's contaminated, what's going to happen? Can you take it? Can you drink it? I was hearing so many tahqeeq coming out yesterday or to the other day. There was some Mona Shokat came to his office and speaking about some prominent movements, right? He says, no, you can take this thing here, vaccine, whatever it is, because in spite of the napak ingredients, so as long as you can't get the smell, the taste, and the color, then it will be called as inqilab mahiyat, you know. The whole thing has been changed. Inqilab mahiyat. So, I told Maulana Shaukat Sahib, you say inqilab mahiyat is a word in English, I can't just quote it. I used to know the word. Remember the word? Metamorphosis, right? Total metamorphosis. I say, I don't know how they bring it into that category. Because, talk about a jug of water, right? And you put one drop of urine. Okay. Isn't there, can you get the smell? If you say metamorphosis mean smell, color, and taste, does it affect that? Doesn't affect it. But will you drink it? Will you say spark or napak? So how can you say such a thing? So there's so many tahqiqs that are coming out now. That is confusing the mind. It's really confusing the ordinary person's getting confused. He couldn't answer it himself until I gave this example here. Let's see. Loan, ri, or tam. Take a big jug of water and put one drop of urine. See if you can get the smell. No smell, nothing. But will you say that there is spark? You can't say it's spark. Why? So this confusion, in this confusion, but look what is right. Look what is right. Look what is closest to the truth. Istanzihu anishubhat. That's a command of the hadith. That things that are of a doubtful character, then leave it out. Why must you go and interfere? Why must you go and pry into that? Now, someone is talking of Mufti Taqi Sahib, Damat Barakatum, right? And he's talking about social distancing, whatever, right? Now, last week, there's a photo, there is a meeting, and they're all sitting shoulder to shoulder. Now, then someone got the mischief to take the photo and then send it viral. Say, oh, the man is saying one thing and he's doing the other thing. I ask you, is it creating a confusion or not? Does it create a confusion? And I think it's become so common, you know, you just see one thing, cut and paste this one here, take this thing out, cut this thing, put it together and just circulate the thing. See this confusion. And the hadith is so clear, by istanzihu anishubahat, leave out these things of a doubtful character, leave it out. If you're going to be leaving it out, then you have saved your deen and you have saved your izzat. Your izzat is safe and secure, your deen is secure. But now you must go and experiment with this thing. Well, he did it, so I must do it. He did it. So now tell me what you're going to do. You're going to go by his word or go by his action. What are you going to be doing? See. So when the hadith is clear, then leave the personality. Now when there is a hadith, then you leave the personality. Now there is a usul, you see. The usul is this. See, you know, you see codification. Codification is usul. Codification, right? The codification goes as this. In the presence of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will not use your own discretion. They call it ijtihad, right? You use your discretion to try and arrive to the truth. But while the Rasul is alone, will you use your discretion? You will not use your discretion. Right? One person asked Mustafa Rahmatullahi, Kana yadi bayna yaday an-Nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So my hand was between Rasul Ibrahim's both hands. So see now the person is saying that shaking with one hand, that's a sunnah. So Mustafa gave two replies to this. He says, see, yadi bayna yaday. My hand was between both the hands of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right. So who's practicing the sunnah? Am I practicing the way of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or you? It was Rasul Hassan's both hands and it was my one hand. So who's practicing the sunnah? And number two, he says, you can use your discretion in the absence of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not in his presence. Sahaba kiram are sent to Banu Qurayza, right? And Rasul gave them instructions, we'll read Asr Namaz at Banu Qurayza. En route is Asr time. So when it's Asr time here, so one Jamaat feels, no, Rasul Ibrahim's clear instruction was that we go arrive at Banu Qurayza and perform our Namaz there, right? But the other Jamaat felt, no, well, Rasul Ibrahim's intention was, what he intended was that we mustn't delay in arriving. So he didn't ask us not to perform the namaz on time, but his intention was not to delay, right? Both used their discretion. But I ask you, the discretion, was it used in the presence of Rasul Ibrahim or in his absence? So because it was used in his absence, so when they returned to Madinah Munawwara, they explained the whole position to Rasul Ibrahim, and Rasul Ibrahim remained silent. He acknowledged this one and he accepted this one. So in the absence of Rasul Ibrahim, we have got the hadith, right? Now in the presence of the hadith, can we use our discretion? Should we be using it? We've got a hadith now, right? And the hadith is coming to the level of mashhur, you know. So many people are reporting the same thing, right? It's coming to that level, right? Now we got the hadith. Should we be using, or anybody be using, his discretion in the presence of the hadith? Is it right? Okay. So people get confused, and they get confused why? Because they left out that usul, istanzihu an ishubhat. Now, what do you mean by shubhat? When you talk of a doubtful thing, what do you mean by doubtful? When you talk about a doubtful thing, you look at the whole scenario from one perspective, then it seems to be permissible. But you look at it from another perspective, it seems to be impermissible. So that's called shubhat, right? From one perspective, it seems permissible. If you look at it from a different perspective, it seems to be impermissible. So Rasul Ibrahim's direction in such circumstances is by refrain. Now, is it the right thing? Say now, this person did this and that person did that, so therefore we're doing this. That means, if Rasul Ibrahim is standing here and he says, istanzihu an ishubhat, and we are saying, Rasul Ibrahim, ya Rasulullah, but he said this, therefore I'll go with him. Has anybody got the heart to say it? Anybody got the heart? He's here and he's saying, but just refrain from doubtful areas. Do you have the heart to say that? The person with the slightest iman, does he have the heart to do it? Anyway, we're talking about وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ, and I spoke about the Mu'tanwi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, and I spoke about him saying that this path here, you want to elevate, you see, you want to move up. So it's got certain requisites, got certain requirements. And now is we are coming into Ramadan, so we need to see that, have we got it? Right? Have we got it? So that we can gain something out of this Mubarak month. Right. So one is, it is not a farz requirement, right? That fana'iyat is not a farz requirement. But in order for you to be able to fly, to go high, you will need this thing, else you can't fly. Now you can move, but you can't fly. Then aeroplane has everything in working condition, right? But it doesn't have the wings. Can it move? You say it can move, right? Can move, everything is in working condition, it can move, but can it fly? Can't fly. So you will not say that wings is a requirement for its movement. Yes, it's a requirement for it to fly. Without the wings also, that it can move. It can move with the speed, but we can't fly without the thing. So the same exactly here, for this thing to take on, for you to be able to fly, then you require the aspect of fana'iyat. Then he explains what is fana'iyat. Fana'iyat, he says, is an extreme level of love. You know, I said husband and a wife, for that marriage to be productive, for it to go well, for it to be enjoyable, then you need to have a good bonding. And initially you will have some teething problem, this side, that side, you'll have something. Sometime for years it will happen, but you'll have to live with it, looking at the broader picture, that I'm into the marriage now, and I need to make something out of this. So now how do I make it happen? So he says it can only happen if there is a fana'iyat, and that fana'iyat requires a very high level of love. And the love requires, this is from my side, right, that you meet, right, like the husband and the wife, they must meet. Right? They must meet. As they meet, then the bonding will increase. You know, some marriages nowadays, is quite strange, very unique. So someone wants his papers to be living in, this problem comes generally from UK, otherwise Canada, right? So the girl is a Canadian and she's getting a husband from Pakistan or India, right? So she's working now to get his papers. He's showing a lot of love and muhabbat, etc. Now the papers are done and he became a Canadian. Now he abandons the wife. I say, is that true love? Is that true love? There was a love, but the love was for some different agenda, right? When he got his things right, then he abandons the wife. Now she's asking now, well, is there any dua, any ta'weez that you could give me that he must come back to me? Now you see what happens. So now this requires a very high level of love. And now what I say is that, now this type of love, what is the indication that this love is working well? He says, the indication that this love is working right is that agarche bhar majlis mein usne aapko sakht sust keh diya, in a gathering he shouted you, right? Lekin tere kalb ke upar adna darje ki nagawari na ho. You don't feel at all hurt in your heart, you feel no hurt whatsoever. Now that's a sign that this love is working. Now when the love is working, now you'll escalate. But before that, you say you're already in working condition, can't move, but you can't escalate, can't go up. See what more I say. So I'm discussing this for two reasons. One is that this tune started it off, right? And the second is this. Now I'm thinking I'll be right at the entrance of Ramadan. So our minds must be right. We must be prepared, right, for all these panel beatings, so the whole thing goes well. Otherwise, now one thing is a problem. Second thing is a problem. Mawlana Rum, rahmatullah, his whole kitab is about, one is the duties towards the Shaykh, and number two is Tawheed al-Matlab. If you look at his whole kitab, that's the two points that he's heading towards. So he says now, gives in a way of illustration, he gives, right? All illustrations. One person asks a tattooer to tattoo my back, right? With a picture of a lion, right? Now it's an illustration, give me a story, right? So now, that time they didn't have anesthetics and all that, right? So they put the anesthetics and then they'll cover it up. They didn't have all these things. So now, man, he started off, hey, what are you doing now? You can see that it's pale. He has to shape it up, then fill it up with some type of a paste, so that thing remains. I say, what are you doing now? So no, I'm doing the tail. Hey, this lion here doesn't need to chase flies, man. Leave it without the lion, without the... Alright, now he's coming on the other side. came towards the mane and all that, you know. So then he got a good hair in the mane, got a good beard also. Now he's doing the beard in the mane. He said, but what are you doing now? He's feeling the pain. He said, oh, he's doing the mane and the beard. This thing here, you don't have to show that it's a male or a female. Right? It can still be a lion. You don't have to show exactly that it's a male or a female. So now he left that, now he left this. Now he's going towards the stomach. As he's curving it, you know, he's carving it. So he can't bear the pain. What are you doing now? Just leave the stomach out. So he threw all his instruments. He says, such a lion even Allah Pak hasn't made. So you want the thing to happen, but you don't go through any pain. Any pain, no pain. Adna darje ki aziyat or takleef na ho. Aur ye bari asani ke saath manzil tak pahunch jao. Kis tarah se hoga, main kehta hoon. So when these people went, they became kamil. They went through the mill. They went through the mill. When they became kamil, they went through the mill. You look at any of these people's stories, man got involved with a Christian girl, right? When I look at the story from a different perspective, I understood that he had to bring that fana to the highest level. So he had to go through this in order to bring that faraya to the higher level, and then Allah Ta'ala see him through. Right? That little bit of pride was lingering in his heart. But now, that gets left sometimes, because the shaykh can understand that he can't take it. Right? But now he's reached a point, now he needs to go forward. When he needs to go forward, he must go through this experience. Now, once he's got all his following and all now, now he's catching it. But he's caught it while at that time he didn't have the capacity to take it. Now in the prime of your glory and all that, now if you catch it, go through that, then will you escalate. See that? So, this panel beating, I'm talking about it as panel beating. So you have to go through it. For you to be able to escalate, you have to go through it. You can't escalate. You can't. It doesn't happen. You want the child to grow, right? Grow properly, nicely. But you don't want to feed the child. Will the child grow? You don't want to feed. Say, no, his stomach pains, you have to go to the toilet, therefore I'm not feeding him. But then the child won't grow. Accept it that he won't grow. You're not feeding the child as you ought to. Then he won't grow. So that's an adat, right? So you have to go through it. Every Nabi had to go through it. To go through some difficulty, some pain, someone is recognizing, someone is not recognizing. You hear about the story of Taif, etc. But now we want a charter for our own selves. We are an independent charter. That's a very difficult one. Now, you may say, no, it's not pride. You may say, it's not an attitude. But then it is something that you're getting so affected. One buzurg, someone has written a letter, you know, a lot of whole letter is full of swear words. Real vulgar, abusive, immoral, immodest words. A whole letter. So he couldn't see at that time, so his murid had to read it to him. And the murid read it to him. So the shaykh is not showing any expression. His face is the same. You can't see that he's showing any expression. So the murid say, "Bhai, this person has been so vulgar, so rude, abusive, but there's absolutely no expression. You are absolutely normal. In fact, you're making dua for the person. Allah Ta'ala uska bhala kare and end it up. But why are you not showing any expression?" He says, "You see, there is that other group of people. And look at my mail, look at them. This person writing, Hazrat, Agdas, Zada Majdum, Barakatukum, right? And Zida Majdukum, all these higher words they're using, right? Adam Allah, Fuyuzakum, Barakatikum, all these things here. And someone got, you know, Sheikh Waqt, Ghos, and Abdal, and all that, right? All these things here. So you can see that these are also exaggerations, right? If I was getting affected, right, I must get affected with this as well. And if I'm not getting affected, then I mustn't get affected with this as well. If I'm getting affected, right, when there's swear words, it's abusive words, right, I'm getting affected because it's exaggerated, it's lies, it's fabrications, right? So then this is also fabrications, exaggerations, I must get affected there also. Then why selectively only the praises that I'm normal, Or where I hit a rock somewhere, you know, I hit a bump. I can't manage, I can't take it. Why? So that means I'm not true. So if I'm getting this exaggeration and this a little bit of fabrication here, then exaggeration and fabrication there as well, and both supposed to be, you're supposed to be taking the both as normal. But if you are reacting on this and you're not reacting on that one, then there is the possibility of pride. That here you reacted differently and here you reacted differently. Why? So we're talking about this, right? وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْأَرْشِ. Now it's a time that the whole thing is closing up, right? And when it's closing up, so he's talking in praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now that is the style of a Nabi. At the height of his glory, then he's remembering Allah ta'ala the most at that time. The height of his glory, right? When what he was working for, everything is just coming before him. You know, what I've been striving for this day here, and it's just coming on. I can see it coming. So then his praises to Allah Ta'ala, his humility is also to the highest. See, when Rasulullah is coming to Makkah Mukarramah, like as though that was the pinnacle of his glory, right? His pinnacle of his glory. But then look at the level of humility on that occasion. Tears are streaming with tears, eyes are streaming with tears, and he says, La ilaha illallah wahda, anjaza wa'ada, wa nasara abda. So he's attributing everything to Allah Ta'ala. I am not responsible for this. It is the work of Allah Ta'ala. He's crying away in appreciation, in thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I got nothing to do with this thing. It is absolutely the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is his doing that this has happened. See? So now that's the style of every Nabi, that at the moment of glory, at the moment of praise, etc., then he's at a different level. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. What are you supposed to be doing? Do you think about it? Then you have to go more to Allah Ta'ala. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. Now cry to Allah Ta'ala, beg for forgiveness, remember him. And then the word that has been used, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ, you show it that all the glory comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is free from all type of defects. That's subhanallah. That means the defects are all on my side. Allah Ta'ala is free from any type of defect. It is His glory, it is His greatness, it is His honor that has reflected on me, that this mission was accomplished. It was accomplished because of Him, not because of my own doing. So any Nabi, you just praise through him and you'll find this whole sifat of abdiyat, you know, is slavery, and slavery to the ultimate, the level of slavery, and the slavery right till the ultimate, you know, where you can't think of a level of slavery beyond. And that's what you'll see in the lifestyle of a Nabi. وَرَفَعَ بَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ وَخَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا. And all the brethren, then they fall down in prostration to Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, out of respect for him, not as an act of ibadat, but as a mark of respect. So in the religions before Rasulullah, this was in order, like how the Malaika had prostrated before Adam alayhi salam. But as an additional security for this ummah, those avenues that could lead you to shirk, Allah Ta'ala closes avenues as well. Right? Like selling wine, you don't become a drunkard. Processing, you don't become a drunkard. But these are avenues that will lead you to drinking of wine. So Allah Ta'ala sealed those doors. So photography was permissible then, right? But then there are avenues where you can be led to worshipping images, right? So Allah blocked those doors.